We want to take our Bibles and turn to James. We'll start with chapter 4 and do some of chapter 5. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, and that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art you? Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against the another, brethren, lest it be condemned, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. That's quite a revelation of what these people were at that time. Let's go back and see what it says from the original Greek, some of the words that mean so much. James chapter 5, beginning with, let's go to 7, verse 7. He says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He's telling you that. What did I say?
Chapter 4.
Oh, did I say 5? I'm sorry. All right. When you get to be close to 80, you'll find that you end up in one chapter and think you're in another. Okay, so verse 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. And let's go to 8, 9, and 10. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He's saying when we call out to God, he lovingly cleanses us from evil. And when we stop being double-minded, then we can return to serving him. How? By putting on our own faith to work. So if we can put our faith that we have in Jesus Christ, we can put it to work. He is telling these preachers that he's speaking to, these false prophets, as we have today, who are lining their pockets and making gain of the poor parishioners, and by doing this, they lead others astray. They are not teaching the things that they should. They're not doing the things that they should. Now, when he leads them astray or drives them away from wanting to hear about Christ, that's what he's talking about. Let's go to James chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. What he's saying here is, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit over here in a good place, and say to the poor man, stand over there, or sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? This is what he's talking about here in chapter 4. He's saying if you if a man comes into your assembly and you look at him and he's got rings on his hands and he's got shiny clothes, really clothes that you go someplace and you pay $500 to $1,000 for a suit, and you really look good, and you say to this man, come over here and sit right up here where people can see what type of person we have in this church. Sit up here where you can be noticed. And there be another man that comes in behind him, and he's you can tell he isn't dressed that well. He might be like me, dressed in Kmart clothes. You don't have to worry about paying a whole bunch of money for a suit or anything down there. You're getting something that looks good. I don't mind. I want something to look good on me. Okay? It doesn't matter about the clothes. And this is what he's bringing out. Is don't have respect to this. And this man that comes in poor looking, you say over to him, sit over there in the corner, or sit over here where you won't be noticed as much as the rest of us up here. So he's telling you, don't do this. Don't have respect of different persons. The reason you don't want to is, first of all, the poor man that you say, sit over there, away from me. He has all the right to say, to think of you as someone who doesn't care about the poor. He says, look what he did to this other man, and he sits me over here. He said, I don't think that they really have any concern for me at all. The rich man that looks so good, and you had him sit right over here where everybody can notice him, he's thinking to himself in his mind, look at them. They want me over here where they can see. All they're looking for is what I can give them. They're not concerned about my soul at all. They just want people to think that I'm something that I'm not, when they should have just said to him, do you need Christ? He said, my brethren, do not speak evil of one another. Verse 11. Or accuse each other. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is a person who maligns and criticizes the law. What law? The royal law. And if you judge the royal law, you should show you are not practicing. You show that you are not practicing the royal law. You are actually censoring it to other people. In chapter 2, I think it's verse 8 and 9, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. That's the royal law. That's what he's talking about. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgressors. That's the royal law he's talking about. The royal law means that we should love one another. That's what Christ gave us. So he's saying here, verse 12, he says, there is one lawgiver. He's saying, only one. Only one is the lawgiver and judge. And it is he who is able to save and destroy. He has absolute power over life and death. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your fellow believers? Verse 13 and 14, where it says here, go to now. That was an expression back then, as just like we have today when you're questioning what somebody said. He says, well, you know, that's a nice Cadillac out there. I spent $100,000 for that. And you say to him, come on now, a Cadillac don't cost $100,000. Of course, it's getting close to it. But he's saying, come on now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go here or there and we'll do our business and make money. Yet you do not know the least little thing about what will happen 10 minutes from now. What is the nature of your life? He's saying, you are but a wisp of a vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist, visible for a moment and just disappears into thin air. See, you, in verse 15, you ought instead to say, if the Lord grants me life, then I may do this or that. Verse 16 and 17 says, but as it is, you boast and brag falsely because you presume because of your self-conceit. This type of thinking is wrong because you put yourself in charge and you forget who God is. So any person who knows what is right to do but doesn't do it, to that person it is sin. If he knows something is wrong and he does it anyway, it's sin. If he knows something is wrong, is right to do, and he doesn't do it, it's sin. This is what he's saying. James chapter 5 and verse 1, he says the same thing here. Come on now, you rich men. He said, burst into audible weeping, wail and cry. And do it loudly. Why? Because of the miseries of which you have sown, they're coming upon you. You don't see it. You don't expect it. But it's surely coming. Your wealth has rotted away and your clothes are moth-eaten. Actually, if you think about it, that's the style of today. The more holes in your clothes, the more they pay for it. If you look at somebody coming in, you can see their knees before you see their face. He says, your gold and silver have become completely tarnished, and the rust of them is a witness against you. All those worldly things that you bought are eating your flesh like fire, he's saying. You think you rich men have stored up treasure for your retirement. dreaming of all the things you delight in, but look closely, your eyes deceive. Or this is what you don't see. The pay of your laborers, who did all the work, has been withheld by you, or you have cheated them out of it. Verse 5. That money, he's saying, that money is crying out to the Lord. And the crying of them who did the work on you, your farm, and has the fields that you reaped, those people, their cry has entered the ears of the Lord of hosts. You spent a luxurious life upon the earth and lived voluptuously without any want at all. You fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Now, the day of slaughter is, if anyone's ever been raised on a farm, that's the day when the farmers slaughter their animals. What they do is they take the tenderloins and they take the prime ribs and they cook them up that same day. They don't lose any flavor or taste. That is what he's saying as pertaining to the day of slaughter. You rich men, he's saying, have condemned. You have murdered the just and upright person, and he has no way to fight you. Your money owns the judges, is what he's saying. You can't fight back. The poor man can't fight back because you can pay the judge off. That's what he's talking. He's showing these people exactly what they are. Verses 7, 8, and 9, he's saying, now as for you that have been misused by them, he's talking to the laborers that did the work. He said, now, as for you that have been misused by them, the rich men, be long-suffering, patiently waiting and enduring the mistreatment of others. He says, restrain your soul from the passion of anger. Brothers, fellow believers, the Lord is surely coming. Now consider this. The farmer waits with all expectations for the precious produce or the life-giving food of the earth. He waits patiently for this. He is patiently, longingly waiting and hoping over it until that time in which the earth may receive an early and a latter rain. Because if they don't get the early and the latter rain, then the crop will dry up. So they look and they hope for this. Now, as for you, fellow believers, he's saying, you also be long-suffering, patiently enduring the mistreatment that they're giving you. He says, you be long-suffering over this. Restrain your souls from the passion of anger. Don't get mad and take revenge for yourself. He says, but stabilize your hearts or keep an even temper. because the coming of the Lord is drawing near, and it's imminent that He's coming. Don't do anything rash, and people would say to you, well, look at him, he's got just as bad a temper as this fella over here that doesn't even know the Lord. He said, we must, as believing Christians, keep our faith in Jesus and let His life, His light, shine through us. If Jesus' light shines through us, others will look at you. Others will want what you want. Others may come to know Jesus. He may come to know Him and His infinite mercy, the same mercy He showed you. And they will be relying on Him to save their souls, just like Jesus saved ours. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, just a couple pages back, and see what He did for others. Let's start off with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even though he was dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 20 said, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning what to do with his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So it was the faith of Moses' parents that did it, because they believed God. They didn't believe in the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they that passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab believed the young men that had come in. She believed in their God Jehovah, the one who saves. And he says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and he stopped the mouth of lions. This is what he was talking about their faith, not getting rattled. Keep that faith that we have in Jesus. He's the one who's going to straighten everything out, not us. Now, in verse five, chapter 5 here, let's go on and we'll see some real faith. Chapter 5, verse 10. He says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the law for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. In other words, always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. This is what we ask every Sunday morning when the pastor is up here. He's asking, is there anybody afflicted? And each one of us tell of somebody who's afflicted and ask for prayer for him or her. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess the faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he goes on to show us what faith does. He says in verse 17, Elijah, was a man subject to passions as we are. He was the same type of person as us. He had the same weaknesses as we have. In other words, he was a human being. He was down from Adam, the same as we are. And it says, And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, I would say that was the answer to prayer. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, fellow believers, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. He's hiding the sins of that person who got saved. You're giving life to someone who's dying. That's the sense of it all. When he's talking about Elijah, when Elijah prayed, let's just check on that just for a second. A little bit proven prayer. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. If you go back and study that scripture, Elijah had run off. And he was hiding underneath a tree by a brook. And the Lord had the birds feed him. And he told them, he says, go. And I want you to tell them, when you see them at, I can't think of her name now, the king's wife, Jezebel. Yeah, Jezebel. He was frightened of her. So he said, go and make this prayer. So he went up there and made that prayer. Now it says here, Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. He went out there and he prayed, but what did he pray? He prayed what God told him to pray. And God blessed him, because he had the faith to go up there and do this of somebody that he was frightened from. And then he went off again because she was after him with all her men, false prophets that she had. And he stayed away 3.5 years. 3.5 years. So there had been no rain there for 3.5 years. And God came to him again and said, go and pray this prayer. So he went and prayed the prayer that God told him to pray. And it says here he prayed again and the earth gave rain. God blessed his prayer and brought the rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. He's saying, now if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, in other words, if any of you know someone that is not living the life that they should be, they don't know the Lord, then if you convert that person, that you will save him from all his sins. Jesus Christ will save his soul. His sins will be forgiven. So by faith, when he's talking through the scriptures, he's telling you that don't get upset, don't do things that are rashly that we would do, but count on the Lord to do what is right. Count on the Lord to handle it, because he's the beginning and the end. He is the King of all.